I invite you to take out your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Last week, Pastor Lonnie shared with us the front half of the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6, and I want to share with you the back half from Luke 11, not because one is better than the other, it's just two different perspectives. If you're using the Bible in front of you, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. It's on page 869. And as we talk about the Lord's Prayer today, I realize there's some of you in here who've heard this before. And I've done it since I've been a little kid. And you're ready to tune me out because, you got to check fantasy scores because games start at noon. And you got to make sure those are all ready to get going. No, you don't have to do that. Astros play at 1:38. I got my tie on, so it's okay. So you can relax. Texans don't play to this evening, so we're good. All right? We're good. And since we're on the topic of prayer, I thought I'd like to share with you a prayer that I think we all can relate to. Here it goes. Dear Lord, so far today, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. And I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need all the help I can get. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody relate? I can. And so as you open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, I want you to look at verse 1. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Man, I've always wondered, what was Jesus praying? What was he doing in that moment that caused those disciples to say, dude, well, kind of like that, teach us. We want to have that kind of prayer life. We want to have that kind of understanding and relationship with the Father. Was it watching him throughout his whole ministry? Was it just that moment? What was it? I don't know. It's when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask that question. Why? What'd they see? What'd they hear? Last week, Pastor Lonnie shared with us the beginning of the Lord's Prayer and the first three petitions. And first of all, I want to say thank you to you for your financial generosity that allows us to have people and resources to put sermons online so that when I wasn't here last week, I can still connect with my faith family and hear a message that he preached and tie it all together today. I want to remind you that the Lord's Prayer is actually divided into seven parts. We call them petitions. It's got an introduction and it's got a conclusion. And the first three petitions or parts talk about spiritual blessings. And then the fourth petition or fourth part talks about a material blessing. And the last three then talk about a spiritual guidance or the strength for us to turn away from evil. And before I get too far going, I want to remind you as you leave today, there's a prayer resource table right outside in the worship commons. And on the table, there's all kinds of resources for all kinds of ages and need. We ran out last week. What a blessing. And so they provided more of those resources again. So please stop by and pick those up on your way out today. Look at Luke 11. The Lord's Prayer begins with, and here, Father, but it talks in Matthew 6, our. Our Father is the introduction to this prayer that talks about a very personal and intimate relationship that God is inviting us to be a part of. That actually happens because Jesus was willing to give his life for us. So that relationship between the Creator God and his creation us was restored, that we can cry out, Father. And not only can we cry out our Father, it actually is a very intimate term that means Daddy. So I can cry out, Dear Daddy. A dad who literally invites me to come into his presence with whatever's going on in my life. Why? Because he loves me. I mean, loves me so much that he gave his own life for me. I mean, I think about, as a dad, I would do anything for my kids. Anything to protect them. Jesus gave his life up for us. The Father sacrificed his own Son, that whoever believes in Jesus is going to have eternal life. And so as we talk about our Father this morning, some of us have difficulty with that because you didn't have a great father. You didn't have a great role model here on this earth. And so when I talk about this, this might be a little foreign concept for you. But it's also a responsibility for me as a dad that I look at this verse and say, man, my kids can perceive who the Father in heaven is based on how I treat them. Man, that's some pressure. But I love that I can live by God's grace and forgiveness because I mess up all the time. Dear Daddy. Now, what do I mean by that? Look, go to Luke 11 and look at what he says in verse 11. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? I mean, can you imagine that? Dad, I want something to eat. You know, here, take this venomous snake. Boop. Silly. It's an exaggeration, actually. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. Here, eat this thing that will kill you. Then Jesus says, if you then who are evil, who's evil? I am. Well, what? Every time I sin, it's evil. And so even as a father who struggles with sin, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, God is interested in our prayers because he's interested in you. Whatever matters to you is a priority for his attention. Nothing in the universe matters as much to him as what's going on in your life today. Man, parents, you know how powerful it is when your kids open up to you and you get more than fine, good, nothing. Okay. Been there, done that? Yeah, so me too. And they actually share their heart and they share what they're struggling with. Do they share what's going on in their lives that you're like going, oh my. And you actually even probably might even know what's going on, but the fact that they trust you to confide in you is a powerful statement. How much more will our Heavenly Father, our dear Daddy, want to hear from his children? So you don't have to pester him to get his attention. You don't have to spend hours on your knees or go without food to show him you mean business. He's your dad. And he wants to know what's going on in your life. So in verse 2, Father, hallowed be your name. Last week, Pastor Lyon talked about what it means that God's name be holy among us. You see, God's name is already holy. We can't make it any holier than it already is. But how we live our lives and what we say and what we speak is how God's name is made holy in us. And so we're actually praying in this petition, this part of the Lord's Prayer, that we're asking that God's name would be holy in our lives. Your kingdom come. We're asking God actually to come back in all power, glory, and might, and asking him to bring us to himself. But until that day happens, we're literally praying in this prayer, we're asking that God's kingdom would grow in us, through us, and around us as we share his message of grace and forgiveness to those among us. We're praying that his kingdom would grow in our hearts, in our minds, in our marriages, in our homes, in our families, with our kids, with our parents, in our communities, in our church, in our schools. We're asking God that he would build his kingdom through what we're doing and what we're saying and how we're being a church, so that more people can experience life with Jesus every day. And so then we pray, thy will be done. God's will is done in and among us. But we're praying this petition, this part, we're saying, Lord, help me align myself with your will. Not like, hey, Lord, here's where we're going. Come on, catch up. Come on, come on. But Lord, help me surrender and submit to what you want from my life, and don't be obedient to it. You see, last week, Pastor Lonnie talked about this being the Lord's Prayer, and I love how he said also that it could be called the disciples' prayer, because it was for the disciples, the followers of Christ, that's us, to pray. But I'll tell you, I believe this prayer is dangerous. It's a dangerous prayer. And what do I mean by that? Look at verse 3. Give us each day our daily bread. Now, again, we've moved from the spiritual blessings to now material blessings. And what does Jesus mean by daily bread? Well, everything that we need to support our body and life. It's not just bread, but I know you carboholics, you're like, ooh, yeah, bread. It's much more than that. Everything that we need to support our body and life. And in praying for daily bread, we're not only asking God to take care of us, but here's what we're doing. We're acknowledging that he is the provider of all things. You see, the Bible tells us, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And what we're saying in this petition is that it all comes from you, God. And it's realizing that he's the provider, that he's in control. And he's going to continue to care for us on a daily basis, and we're to receive it with thanksgiving. Remember the Israelites? Did God not care for them in the wilderness? What did he give them? He gave them bread, manna, and quail, and water. He provided for their daily needs. And remember, he told the Israelites, don't collect more than a day's worth, because it'll go bad. Why? Because I want you to trust me for tomorrow's supply. He provided for their needs, and what did? They received it with thanksgiving, right? And they complained. They grumbled. I remember a couple years ago, I saw some website or something, they had this like purple rubber band or rubber thing you could get on your hand that every time you complained, you're supposed to move it from this arm to this arm. Well, I took it one step further, I had a rubber band, and every time I complained, I'd pop it and then put it on this hand. I actually had to stop because I was getting welts on both sides of my arms. So my question is, if God is there to provide all our daily bread, our needs and supply, are you receiving with thanksgiving or complaining? Is your day marked out more by thanksgiving or complaining? I mean, I think about the things that I complain about are really first world problems. I mean, My car. I have a car. My phone. Bad iOS 11 update. I mean, I even did a 0.2 and it's still all messed up. So by the way, if I call you and it says unknown caller or no caller ID, my phone's all okay, I'm complaining. Some of the stuff that we complain about is ridiculous. Well, maybe not y'all. I do. It is ridiculous. If the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and I'm praying for daily bread, he's providing me with all that I need and for this body and life. Maybe not everything that I want, but it's a reminder for me that I need to trust him on a daily basis because he is more than enough. Do I believe in a God of abundance or a God of scarcity? Is he really more than enough? And so this petition and this part, really we're asking God and trusting and relying on him as our Father, our Dad in heaven, to provide us on a daily basis. And so worry is actually unnecessary, for he's provided, he does provide, and will continue to provide everything. That's why I say it's dangerous, because, you know, I pray this petition, and what happens? I still worry. And here's what happens. It shows up with sleepless nights, stomach aches, and other anxieties. The fifth petition. I think this is the hardest one. Go to Luke 11, verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. So I want you to hear what you're asking for when you pray this petition. The first thing we're asking this petition is to realize that God is perfectly willing and able to forgive our sins. Sometimes we carry around this incredible amount of guilt for what we should have done or shouldn't have done, or what we did or said or didn't say. And it's consuming. And we're aching to hear those words, "You're forgiven." I want you to hear, your daddy loves you so much. He sent his son, Jesus, so he can say, "You're forgiven, my child. I love you." That we might live in his forgiveness. Lord, forgive us, forgive me my sins. But the second thing in this petition you got to think about also is that there is a need for forgiveness. That we have to actually realize the sin in our own lives. And maybe you say, when I said I'm an evil guy, you're like, "Oh, wow. Well, so are you." What? You know, we do a great job of pointing out everybody else's sin. You know, even nudging somebody like, "Hey, are you listening?" I love when people come out to me after worship and say, "I wish my son was here. He really needed to hear that message." Didn't preach it for him. For you. We're not talking about the sin of the person sitting in front of you. "Yeah, I know what's going on in their life." We're not the person next to you or in your neighborhood. Not your spouse. Not me, but you. Okay, what does this mean? To recognize how truly sinful we are, you go back to the first petition where it says, "Hallowed be thy name." Are we living lives that are holy and pleasing in God's sight? Are we living lives to the glory of God? Do we always put the best construction on a situation? Do we gossip? Do we tell half-truths? Do we harbor resentment towards someone else? Do we hold on to anger? Man, I need God's forgiveness. Because when I pray this petition, I'm acknowledging that I'm a sinner in need of God's grace. And there's my daddy lavishing his grace and forgiveness and love all on me. I really deserve his wrath and punishment. Instead, he gives me grace. Keep your finger there. Go to Psalm 103. If you want to go to Psalm 103, you actually just open up the Bible, and usually the Psalms hit you right in the middle. Psalm 103. If you're using the Bible in front of you, it's on page 502. Let me just give you a couple verses from this psalm. I love this psalm. Look at verse 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Verse 3, "He forgives all your iniquity," that means sin, "and he heals all your diseases." Verse 4, "He redeems your life from the pit." I mean, I want you to hear that. When we're struggling with guilt, it does feel like we are in a pit. And what does he do instead? He crowns us with his steadfast love and mercy. Look at verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Man, I wish I could parent like that. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. Look at verse 10. This is the key one here for me. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. He placed those on the shoulders of Jesus. And we know from Isaiah that by his wounds, by his death, we are healed. Look at verse 12, or verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward us. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. That's Dad. Go back to Luke 11. Now, this brings us to the hard part, I believe, of this petition. It says, forgive others, especially when they have hurt us. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. Now, I want to make sure we understand this first before I go any further. There's some really bad interpretations of this line right here. This isn't forgive us our sins in proportion to the sins that we forgive others. So if I forgive your sins, God will forgive me. Now what this means is that the forgiveness that we extend to others is evidence of the forgiveness that God has given to us. You see, God's forgiveness is not based on our works or our forgiveness, but on his grace. Remember, he doesn't deal with us according to our sins or repay us according to our iniquities. He forgives. And then our response of forgiving others is the evidence that we've been forgiven by him. And I'm telling you, I believe this is the hardest thing that we as followers of Jesus Christ have to do. Because I know there are people in here, I don't know, I'm guessing. The stats are on my side. If there are people in here right now who've been lied to, who've been betrayed, who've been cheated on, you've been falsely accused. I mean, I can just go on and on and on and on. But God calls us to live a life of forgiveness. Forgiven people forgive. Now, why is that important? See, to me, when you are not willing to forgive somebody, they're exerting an incredible amount of control on you. And your mind and your spirit are taking score. And they're the ones that are getting beat up. What do I mean by that? So if I got a friend that I'm talking to at a dinner party, and all of a sudden this person I cannot stand who I'm mad at and will not forgive shows up, and because I'm so angry at this person, I leave the party in this conversation because I can't stand to be around them. Who wins? You see, they're exhibiting an incredible amount of control on me, and the best way to release that control is to forgive. Like I said, that's a whole sermon series in of itself. And then you look at the sixth petition. And lead us not into temptation. It's kind of interesting how it follows right after forgiving others. But I want you to hear this also. God tempts no one. You actually could translate this as lead us as we go through a test. You see, tempting means that God is trying to seduce us to evil. But what we're praying this petition is, Lord, help me to stay away from areas and situations and people and places that might cause me to fall into this sin or do something I might regret. You see, every one of us have a threshold of vulnerability to sin. What might be a no big deal for one person is completely opposite for the other. We all have our weak spots. And the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he can destroy. And so we're praying this petition, Lord, give me the strength to not enter into a situation that's going to cause me to sin. Help me turn off the TV channel. Help me shut down my computer and that website I got no business being on. Help me walk away from a business trip in which somebody else is enticing me in to break my marriage vows. Help me, Lord, to stay away from situations that are causing me to fall into sin, whatever it may be. And then it concludes, but deliver us from evil. Kind of, that's like the umbrella policy. Just in case we haven't hit everything, the Lord says, deliver us from evil. Well, what about the Vegas shooting? Man, does that mean those people there weren't praying to deliver us from evil? Or what about a hurricane or a tragedy or flooding? What about a destructive relationship? Does that mean that God doesn't deliver us? Absolutely not. I wish I could give you a great answer, but I do know that in a tragedy, in a calamity, if the Lord would take me home, if I die, He has delivered me. He's delivered me for eternity. And maybe that's not the answer you're looking for. It's the best I got. Because I can't make sense of what happened last Sunday. But I can grieve with hope in the resurrection of all flesh when Jesus comes again in His kingdom. And then we end the prayer. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, wait a minute. If I look at Luke chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 6, that's not in there anywhere. How can we say that's part of the Lord's Prayer? That's a great question. You've always wondered that. Why is it not there? It actually goes back to 1 Chronicles 29:11. It's a liturgical response that they used to use in the temple. And what it is it was the context is that these people are bringing all these gifts to build the temple of the Lord. And David was going, who am I that you're able to bless us as so much, Lord, that you brought all these gifts to the building of your house? And then he said, for yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever. I think it's a wonderful way to end an incredible prayer. Because what it's saying is like, God, you can do it. I can't forgive others by myself, but yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory. I can't shake this complaining, but yours is the power, yours is the glory, yours is the kingdom. You're still in control. And the prayer ends with amen. So shall it be. I'll leave you with this thought. Perhaps you see the phrase, prayer changes things, and I would agree with that. But here's what I believe prayer does. Prayer changes me. It changes my attitude, my outlook, my perspective, my needs, and my wants. And as I live in the Father's will, the gap between my needs and my wants actually become closer. Maybe you're dealing with a marriage that's breaking up, a dead-end job, an unpleasant task, a mean-spirited person in your life, an unforgiving spirit, an addiction or a devastating loss in your life, whatever it is, remember, for thine is the kingdom, the power, yours is the glory, forever and ever. Amen. To God alone be the glory. Amen.